Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Luke, chapter 24. It's a beautiful spirit taking place in the house on Sunday evenings. This isn't B service. They're all A service. Luke 24, verses 1 to 7 read, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and then be crucified, and the third day rise again."'" I believe the Spirit would ask this question tonight. Have us ask ourselves this question tonight. Why do we seek the living among the dead? What are we hoping to find in the cemeteries? What are we hoping will satisfy in the graveyards? What are we searching for in the tombs? And isn't it true that many are seeking the living among the dead? Verse 5 in the New King James Version, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And the Amplified Bible reads, "Why do you look for the living among those who are dead?" Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek life from dead places? Why do you seek life from dead things and in dead things? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do we seek life in things that lead to death? Many are seeking life in things that truly do lead to death. Why do we seek for life in these places? Places and things where there is no salvation, where there is no liberty, where there is no freedom, where there is no lasting joy, where there is no Savior there. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Looking for life in all the wrong places. Colossians 3, 1 to 10. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Thank you, Lord. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, but have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. I want to say this tonight. If we are going to take a trip to the graveyard, it's not to find life, but to put things to death. To put things to death. Fornication. Uncleanness. Evil passion. Evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry, and so on. These are the disease that runs in the veins of the sons and daughters of disobedience. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do we head out from this place and seek life in dead things? Dead conversations, dead environments, dead relationships, dead associations. Why do we head out of here and seek the living? Why do we look for life? Why do we look for joy? Why do we look for salvation? Why do we look for some sense of freedom? Why do we look for belonging in the graveyards? Verses 5 to 8 in the Message. That means killing off everything connected with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. I recently had a conversation with an individual. Some Christians apparently are persuaded it's okay for them to use coarse language. That it's all right. How is that right? When the Bible says it's wrong. Even the Message paraphrase says it's wrong. I don't know what maybe they're trying to write a new paraphrase or a new Bible that suits their fancy, right? We're supposed to put these things off. These are not supposed to be a part of who we are. While we're living in a new day and age where Jesus is different in the New Testament, doesn't it say in the Word He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? I don't think He changed as soon as it flipped to the book of Matthew. God didn't all of a sudden switch into this grace mode like we think He did. His grace has always been there, and He's so kind, and He's so merciful, and He's full of love. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're here tonight and you only have a New Testament, trade it in. We need the whole book. We need the whole counsel of God. Verses 9 to 11, don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. I want to ask tonight, are we done with the old life? It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. We all come together in Jesus. We might all be different from different walks of life, but we are to become like Jesus, to fold into His likeness. I never read once where Jesus used profanity. That's just one example. He's calling us to put these things off. The living is not found where sexual promiscuity is. The living is not found where impurity is. The living is not found where lust is. The living is not found where lies are, where profanities are, where dirty talks are. The living is not found where idolatries are. How is it that one would seek to find the living among the dead? Can we put out the call tonight? And can we call it like it is tonight? And can we draw the line where it should be drawn tonight? Verses 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. The message reads, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. What are you pursuing? What are we seeking? Are we looking for life in the wrong places? Are we seeking to find the living among the dead? The horoscope is a graveyard. Psychological persuasion is a graveyard. Self-help is a graveyard. The places the world finds satisfaction are graveyards. I want to say tonight, don't assume drugs are the answer. The bottle is a graveyard. The parties of the world, the talk, the chatter, the debauchery, graveyard. Why do we seek the living among the dead? To all the young people here, don't seek the living among the dead. You're in a time in your life where there's many pressures. I don't know if it's worse than it's ever been. It was pretty bad when I was growing up too. It was pretty bad back in the 60s, wasn't it? I think it's just always been pretty bad. Seek the living. Don't run to the cemeteries to find life. Looking for living in all the wrong places. You know where to seek the living? Here's just a short little list and you can add to it. This is where we seek the living, the Bible. Spiritual persuasion, God help, the places Christ tells us there's satisfaction, the wine of the kingdom, the house of the Lord, the parties where the Holy Ghost is, where the talk is right, the chatter is blessed, and where debauchery cannot be found. Amen? That's where we find life. That's where we seek life. Young person, if you're looking for a relationship, don't go seeking a relationship in the graveyard. I know there's this popular thing. It's been around forever. This is no new thing. Flirt and convert. But you know what it usually does? It perverts your Christianity. That's what happens more times than not. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Can we agree that the living is not found where Jesus is not found? Luke 24, 1-7, no, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Can we realize tonight and recognize tonight that Jesus died for our graveyard things? All the sin, all the wrongdoing, all the wickedness. In this account, this piece of history, the women went into the tomb and the body was gone. They were perplexed. Jesus Christ died to put those things to death once and for all. All our sins, all the wrong things, all the things that the sons and daughters of disobedience find pleasure in. Jesus died to put them to death once and for all. And then he rose to life and left those things behind where they belong, in the tomb. His body wasn't there. And can I say tonight that we are the body of Christ and we should not be there either. They came in, they were perplexed. You mean the body of Jesus isn't here? No. The body of Jesus is not in the graveyard. The body of Jesus is not in the tomb. And the church shouldn't be either. It doesn't mean we don't go rescue people. That is not what I'm talking about tonight. But his body was not there. Perhaps we are seeking good things where they cannot be found. We're seeking life in dead places. Good things where they can't be found. Love where it, according to Christ, cannot be found. Acceptance, where according to Christ cannot be found. Acknowledgement, where according to Christ should not be found. Satisfaction, where it's not truly meant to be found. Assurance, purpose, joy, whatever it be. Looking for good things, but in the wrong places. Not where the Lord has called us to look for them. I share these words with you tonight. Charles Spurgeon. This question was addressed to certain holy women who came early to the sepulcher, bringing with them the spices which they had prepared for embalming the body of our Lord. They were met by angels who reminded them that their Lord had promised to rise again, that he had so risen, and that it was in vain for them to seek in the sepulcher, the living, the immortal Christ. Why seek you the living among the dead? The mistake they made was that of seeking for the living Savior where he could not be found. We have all of us made the same mistake. Some of us are making it now. We are seeking good things in the midst of evil, hoping to find satisfaction where it was never yet discovered and never will be. Seeking, but seeking in the wrong place. Seeking for the living among the dead. He continues, "You children of God called out from the world, do you not sometimes set your affections upon things on the earth and seek for satisfaction here below? Have I not observed how some of you have tried to find comfort in your wealth land, your wealth, and how others, in the midst of your successful efforts to extend your business, have thought to find solace on that bed of thorns, the cares of this world and the merchandise thereof? Ah, how grievous it is when the Christian becomes an idolater. Yet, just as the Israelites of old, who, though they knew the true God, were found in an emergency, setting up the golden calf and saying, 'These are your gods, O Israel,' so in one form or another, we may be making some created good the object of our search, setting our heart upon it and indulging expectations of solace from it, forgetting that comfort can only be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why seek you? Why do you, you who know so much better, why seek you the living among the dead? Why do you come to the broken cistern which can hold no water when the well springing up with crystal streams is always at your feet? Why will you go to drink in the muddy river when the clear sparkling rill of the water of life is always accessible to you? You did once try to fill your belly with the husks which the swine eat, but you failed to appease the hunger that consumed you. Why return to that unprofitable employment? O Christian, you have sometimes said to your fellow man, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which satisfies not? I may say the same to you. If you think an immortal mind can never be satisfied with mortal joys, or imagine that one who has been born from on high can ever find contentment in this poor wilderness world, the pursuit itself is a folly which is sure to bring you a strong rebuke. Whenever you thus fall into the error of seeking the living among the dead, your solid comfort, your real happiness, and the only joy worth having you must find in Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit and not in the things of time. Luke 24:8-12, they remembered his words. Can we tonight remember his words? Then they returned to the tomb and they told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. The margin actually reads nonsense. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Idle tales. Some call it so today when you question their seeking the living among the dead. Some would say, and some would seek, to add spice to the places Christ is not found, give pleasant fragrance to them. They would try and spice it up, make it smell better than it smells. Head in there and make it look better than it looks. Try and bring some life to this dead place. Make them feel more comfortable so that they no longer smell the scent of the sin. You know what's left in the tomb? Grave clothes. That's what they found. The grave clothes of all those things that we've risen out of, all those things that we've put off in Christ, all those things are left behind as we exit the tomb to embark on the greatest adventure with our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The stone has been rolled away. Jesus is not found in the tomb. He's not found in the graveyard. Life is not there. He's left. He's gone. Why do we seek for him there? How is it that we're perplexed that there's not life in the tomb? Do we not remember his words? And perhaps we need to hear afresh tonight, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. The Voice Bible reads, he walked away full of wonder about what had happened. Can I say to all of us here tonight that that's us? Walking away from the tomb full of wonder about what was and what has happened. Filled with wonder that's all that's left behind is the grave clothes. All those things we put off, full of wonder, running to tell the others. But there's no life in the tomb. Can we take up that message tonight and run out of this place and tell people there's no life in the graveyards, there's no life in the cemeteries, there's no life in the tombs? Can we challenge those whom we love, even though they may think it's idle tales and nonsense? We know that the word says the gospel's always been foolishness to those that are perishing. But can we not run to them, filled with wonder and amazement, and kindly ask, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life in those places? Let me tell you where you find life. Once we sought life in dead places, once we sought life in dead things, We've all made that mistake. Once we were clothed in grave clothes. Once we were dead in the tomb. The graveyard of the world was our resting place. Once, but no more. We are risen with Christ, and his body is no longer found in the tomb. All that remains in the tomb is the grave clothes of remembrance. We know what we once were, but we are that no more. The body of Christ is not in the tomb. You will not find it there. And we are the body of Christ. And let the truth be heard tonight, for the truth sets free. The true body of Christ is not found in the tombs. Let's have the worship team return. It is vain for us to seek in the sepulcher the living, the immortal Christ. It's vain for us to seek in the tomb the things that Jesus can provide, seeking what he longs to provide. It is vain for us to seek in the tomb the living. There simply is nothing there for us. Can you receive that word tonight? There's nothing there for us. All the good of Christ is outside of the tomb. All the riches of Christ are outside of the tomb. All the joys of Christ, the freedoms of Christ are outside the tomb. Now, perhaps today we need to run out from the tomb, opening our eyes, seeing what Christ has done afresh. And as Peter, walking away, yet running away, full of wonder at what has happened. Seeking the living among the dead, my prayer is that all of us, as we leave this place tonight, as we go about our week, that we remember that line. That the Holy Spirit continually brings it to remembrance. And if there be even a moment where we find ourselves seeking life in dead places, the Spirit would prompt the question, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Do we have ears to hear the still small voice? Do we have ears to hear the thundering voice when he comes to us throughout our day, throughout the week, the month, the years? Why do you seek the living among the dead? You might be here tonight and you say, that's nonsense. It's not nonsense. This is not an idle tale. All the spice in the world can't please the Lord. All the spice we could add to the places of death, it'll never please the Lord. Don't look for the living among the dead. Don't look for the living among those who are dead. Let's stand tonight. Lord, we thank you that your word is so clear. Your word truly is black and white. And I'm thankful for that. And I believe we all are, Lord. There's no room for confusion. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Christ is a God.